This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Do you want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help children really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. I mean, when Eleanor was young, she really, really struggled with math, and a program like IXL would have really helped her to get ahead, to keep up, study for a test. It's a great tool.
Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And happier listeners get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/happier. Visit IXL.com/happier to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast that gives you strategies and tips for building happier habits into daily life. This week, we'll talk about why you should introduce a note of whimsy, and we'll talk about how a creative team can harness the power of the four tendencies. And one half of that team is our own Kristen Meinzer. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. I'm in New York City, and with me is my sister, and some might say happiness guinea pig, Elizabeth Kraft.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA. And yes, Gretch, I guess you could say I'm your lab rat.
Elizabeth, I understand you have an update for us about your issue with your treadmill and your broken television.
Yes. So I have given myself a couple of demerits now about not doing the treadmill at home as I have been doing. And it all started when our TV wasn't working. So I couldn't watch The Housewives while I was on the treadmill, and therefore I just stopped doing it. And I had finally gotten Adam to have the guy look at the TV. And Adam was like, there was nothing wrong with it. And it was fine. So I'm like, oh, I must be crazy. It fixed itself. That happens. So I go and finally get back on the treadmill and start going, turn the TV on. It's broken again. So I stop the treadmill. I go get Adam. I'm like, look at this TV is broken. You guys didn't look at it right. He comes in, turns the TV on. It's working. I'm like, am I insane? I swear it wasn't working. He leaves again. I turn the TV on. The TV's working. I turn on my treadmill. I start going. It doesn't work again. What I finally figured out was the TV does not work when the treadmill is going. So it was like this gaslight situation where every time I started walking, it didn't work. And then every time someone looked at it, it worked. So I don't know if it's an electricity thing. Adam, I showed him this and he's like, okay. So this is taking another level of like having to figure out what's going on. So that's the update on my treadmill at home. As a result, I still haven't been using the treadmill, which is not good. But now we know what the problem is.
Well, also, don't you feel a tremendous sense of vindication in that, like, now it's clear, like, why it would not work for you and it would work for other people?
Yes.
It's like,
yes.
I am not insane.
Okay. Yes. So anyway, that was just kind of comical.
Okay, the ongoing saga continues.
Yes.
How will Elizabeth get back on her treadmill at home? Stay tuned. So, Elizabeth, this week our Try This at Home is a really fun one. And it is to introduce a note of whimsy about it's trying to engage in the world with a note of humor.
Yes, I love this. I love the word whimsy. It makes me happy.
So, Elizabeth, there were three things that in my head banged together to give me this idea of the power of whimsy. First was the lights on the Empire State Building, because they change the lights depending on what's going on. Like, it's red, green, and gold for Thanksgiving. It's red, white, and blue for Veterans Day. It's green in honor of St. Patrick's Day and the Masters. Red in honor of Valentine's Day. It's just this little note. Like, you look at the skyline and you're like, oh, look, it's red for Valentine's Day. It's just this kind of fun little, like, inside joke that you see in the sky. Another one comes from MIT, and I learned about this, Eliza, when she was going through the college admissions process. So for regular admissions, most of the colleges say that they will announce by this day, no later than such and such date, but it's kind of ambiguous. Or they'll say, well, we'll let you know between these days. Mm-hmm. But MIT always announces on March 14th. Why does MIT always announce on March 14th? See if you can guess.
I have no idea.
Because it's 3.14.
Oh, pie for MIT.
And I'm like, that is so whimsical. I love that, especially something like the college admissions process.
Well, and MIT, which seems like it would be the opposite of whimsical.
I have like such newfound respect for MIT that it could kind of poke fun of itself in that way. And my final example of the power of whimsy was something I've never forgotten, an interview that my father-in-law gave. And when the interviewer said, what was the nature of the meetings? My father-in-law said, the meetings were fruitful. And the interviewer said, in what sense were they fruitful? And my father-in-law said, in the sense that they were full of fruit. And that just, and then just like moved on. I was like, what just happened? That was just this weird note of whimsy, which I've never.
Again, he's a pretty serious guy. You're not expecting him to be whimsical.
No, and I think there's a lot of reasons why whimsy is effective, why it lifts our spirits, why it makes unpleasant things sometimes more pleasant. And one is that you're kind of going against what people might expect. If people think that it's going to be serious, if you interject a note of kind of humor or poke fun at yourself, it just adds this sort of funny, unexpected layer of whimsy to life. And it's so fun.
Yeah, I love it. I was thinking about my life, Gretchen, and I don't feel that I'm a whimsical person at all. I wish I were more whimsical, but I do have one little note of whimsy, which is that I have started collecting these buttons, and I'll have to Instagram a picture of these, hashtag happier podcast.
Yes.
So there's these buttons, and when you push them, they say funny things. So I have them at the office.
Like a button that a person would wear like on their jacket?
No, a button that like sits on your desk.
Ah.
More like a bell, more like a school bell, except for it's like a big plastic button. So if you want, I can push them for you and you can hear them.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, so this is for me to sort of push while we're breaking a story and like I want to, you know, do something funny. Okay, here's the first one.
That was easy.
We'll do it one more time.
That was easy.
I love that one. So for like having a really hard time with something and then someone has a good idea, you can push that.
Oh, that's good. That's like a little sound effect as you're going through, yes, going through the process.
Here's my other favorite one.
That's what she said. That's what she said.
That's very Michael Scott. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I have a couple more at home. So those are just my little fun things to keep myself amused at the office and others.
Well, listen, just like you have a button that lets you say that was easy as an interjection in conversation, I want to start saying things like winter is coming or mischief managed in my conversation just for comic effect. I feel like there's a lot of missed opportunities for me to say that, to add a little whimsy.
So, and wait, where are those from? I mean, of course I know winter is coming is from Game of Thrones.
Yes, winter is coming is the motto of the Stark family. And it's always used to mean like sort of hard times are coming, we need to prepare. So it's sort of like if you and Sarah were talking about how the fact that you're waiting to get notes on something, you'd say, oh, winter is coming, because it's sort of your doom is approaching.
Yes, exactly.
And mischief manages from Harry Potter. Fred and George.
Right. How could I forget Harry Potter, yeah, mischief managed?
Yeah, Fred and George give the Marauder's map to Harry, and you tap the map and say mischief managed so that the map will disappear so that you don't get in trouble for having the Marauder's map.
So when would you say mischief managed? When you've avoided a bad situation?
Yeah.
Mischief managed.
Yeah. It's sort of like, I dodged that phone call. Mischief managed.
I like that. I'm going to use these too.
All right. Okay. This is 2018 resolutions on afoot.
Now, one thing, Gretch, in terms of whimsy that I have in my life is where I work. Because as you've been to the Disney lot now, and you've seen there's many whimsical elements to the Disney lot, like the Mickey Mouse ears bike racks, the hidden Mickeys all over the lot.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that the streets are called like Pluto Drive. So it's kind of just a whimsical place to be.
So now I think kind of trying to break down why whimsy is a happiness booster. I think one thing that whimsy can do is it can make kind of an imposing institution seem more approachable and like it has a sense of humor about itself. Like Disney is this big, impressive, intimidating company, and yet it's got its hidden Mickeys. And MIT is this big university, but it's like it gets what's funny about Pi Day. Or if there's something that you want to communicate, whimsy can make it more palatable. So like if you want to deliver a message in a lighter tone, like you can post any sign that you want above the kitchen sink at the office with like trying to tell people to do their own dishes. But you could also just find the right Dilbert cartoon and put the Dilbert cartoon there. And probably the Dilbert cartoon will be just as effective, if not more, because that humor is a way to deliver it in a way that feels more acceptable to people.
Yeah, and it's kind of tricky because to, you know, introducing a note of whimsy is something you kind of have to think about. Doesn't just naturally happen. But even in thinking about it, it might sort of lighten your mood.
And a perfect example of this is a family rules. A friend of mine has this thing posted. It's her family rules. And like she made this big poster and it's actually framed in their kitchen. And again, she put a lot of work into it and it's very whimsical. So it seems less heavy handed. It seems less bossy and annoying because it's very funny.
Oh, that's funny.
It's labeled heinous infractions. So already it's kind of, so it goes through all the heinous infractions, which is like the dreaded undies, pants tangle, leaving stuff in laundry pockets, leaving clothes where you took them off. It's going through all. And then at the bottom, there's this big skull and crossbones. And it says penalty equals death or cash alternative. And so there's just a lot of things about it that make it funny. And so it's a way to remind everybody these are our family rules, but not in a way that's feels curt or bossy. It's more lighthearted. And that note of whimsy, I think, makes
that's great.
You can talk about it in a more lighthearted way. So let us know if you do try this at home and how introducing a note of whimsy works for you and exactly how you did it. Because like Alyssa said, I think sometimes it's hard to see how you would introduce that note of whimsy. Let us know on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Drop us an email at podcast@gretchenrubin.com or go to happiercast.com/146 for everything related to this episode.
Coming up, a color-related happiness hack right after this.
We all know that our life and our health can be improved when we eat nourishing, healthy meals, but it can be hard to maintain. With Sunbasket Meal Kits, it's easy because they take care of the details. Sunbasket offers 18 chef-crafted, dietitian-approved recipes each week with options like Mediterranean, carb-conscious, vegetarian, and keto-friendly. The recipes are quick and easy to follow, and you can enjoy a meal full of organic produce and clean ingredients that's ready in 30 minutes or less.
Try mouthwatering Sunbasket dishes like salmon burgers with lemon dill mayo and seared squash or steaks with chimichurri and harissa roasted sweet potatoes. My son Jack loves salmon and he loves Sunbasket salmon burgers. Go to sunbasket.com/happier today to get $45 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/happier to get $45 off your first box plus free shipping. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
So Lisa, this is a happiness hack that came to us from Lee, and I love it because, as you know, I'm obsessed with color. Yeah. Ever since we talked to listeners about choosing a signature color in episode 71 and then in episode 75, I have been obsessed with color. And this is a hack that is about tapping into color to find your way to the moment.
Yes, and it comes from Lee. Lee said, I was struggling with a difficult situation that seemed to be eating away at me. I got on my bike to think and reduce stress. The chatter was endless in my brain. 30 minutes into my ride, I realized not once had I come back to the present moment of where I was. I was so in my head that I didn't even really realize I was on my bike in the middle of beautiful scenery. No matter how hard I tried to breathe and take in my surroundings, I couldn't do it. Finally, I tried picking one color in nature and verbally saying the name of what I saw with this one color over and over and over again until I came back to my environment. When I exhausted that color, I would move on to another color. I started to calm down and get out of my head. I think whenever anybody is upset or hurting, they can live in a world of distraction. We can get so distracted we can't find our way back to the present moment. Simply identifying color wherever we are can bring us back and help us recalibrate our brains. It's a very basic exercise, but so simple.
I love this. I think, first of all, it's about tapping into the power of color, which, of course, I love. But it's also this idea that sometimes, like, you just can't master your own thoughts. You cannot master yourself. And you need some kind of exercise or some kind of practice. And I think people have all different kinds of things that they use. But for many people, this is very concrete, and it really does take you into your environment. Like, it was pulling her out of her spiraling thoughts and also helping her to connect with the beautiful nature. She was putting herself in nature, trying to connect, and she wasn't able to. And this was a kind of a bridge to both herself and the beauty of the outer world.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting how sometimes you're just so upset about something, distracted by something, that even getting out and, like, exercising doesn't help, you know?
Right.
So it's great to have, like, a thing to add on to that. If you're really just desperate to get out of that, you know, vicious circle of obsessive thoughts.
Well, and by the way, Lee gets a gold star for saying, like, oh, if I'm in a difficult situation that's eating away at me, I should get on my bike and bike around, get some exercise and look at beautiful scenery. So that was definitely, like, a smart move. But like you say, sometimes you need to throw every tool you can into the mix, because it really can be hard to become the master of your thoughts.
Yeah. And I mean, you could even do this, of course, like in your office. I mean, I'm just looking around my office and I'm, like, seeing everything that's red, you know, red folder, red chair, red marker, red words on the book. Like, you could do that even just to get out of your head.
Well, and the thing that I found, because I am working on my little fun book, which I'm calling My Color Pilgrimage, it's like, color is so beautiful. There are so many subtle nuances, and there's the light and texture and all these things. And it's so easy to take it for granted, and you never even really notice what the colors are. And if you start to dial into that, you can make your visual environment full of so much beauty and pleasure if you just start paying attention to it. Like you say, in your own office, like, you might not have ever thought, like, oh my gosh, look at the beautiful red of that book cover. That is just, like, one of my very, very favorite reds. You might never have even noticed it before.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a beautiful way to connect to the moment. So thank you, Lee.
Thanks, Lee.
And now we're doing a combo. It's an interview and a four tendencies tip combined. And we are so excited to be talking to our own beloved Kristen Meinzer and Jolenta Greenberg here in the studio in Brooklyn today. They are the co-hosts of the hilarious, thought-provoking podcast called By the Book. By the Book is kind of half reality show, half self-help podcast. So tell us a little bit about how it's structured.
So every episode follows me and Jolenta for 2 weeks while we follow a different self-help book. And we follow every single rule. We adopt the jargon. We do whatever it tells us to do, whatever we're supposed to eat, whatever we're supposed to wear. Anything the self-help book says we're supposed to do to improve our lives, we do it. And our poor husbands, our coworkers, everybody else along the way is affected by this. And they're recorded also during the process.
The innocent bystanders. Yes.
And then in the end, Jolenta and I weigh in on whether or not we thought the book is, you know, life-changing in a good or a bad way.
Yeah, some good, some bad. And so just so people know where you're coming from, Kristen, when you're not co-hosting by the book, you're also our own beloved, brilliant producer, and you have many other responsibilities here at Panoply. And Jolenta, you're a comedian, you're a contributor to the BBC, WNYC, Risk, and a Moth Story Slam winner.
Yes,
very cool.
Yes.
Yeah, and some of the books you guys have discussed, and I've listened to every episode. I love this podcast.
Oh, you guys are so supportive.
Thank you.
I love it. Some of the books are The Secret, French Women Don't Get Fat, Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, How to Write an Ebook in Less Than 7 to 14 Days That Will Make Your Money Forever. Yeah, and your season 2 has just started. Your first book is Bored and Brilliant by Manoush Zomorodi, who we love on this show. We've had her on.
Yeah, I'll post a link to the interview with Manoush in the show notes.
So, Jolenta and Kristen, you've both taken the Four Tendencies quiz. You know your tendencies, and you wanted to talk to us about how your tendencies lead to both fun and conflict in making your show.
Uh-huh. Both those things.
Yeah. Yeah, yes.
So, Gretchen, we want to hear from you. What tips do you have for two friends in a business relationship who come at things from such different positions?
Right. So, first, the big reveal. What are your tendencies?
I just retook the quiz last night and I am still a rebel.
Okay. So one of the things we know, if you're a rebel, then it's a very, very, very high likelihood that your partner, whether it's in work or in romance, is going to be an obliger. So does this pattern hold?
Kristen.
It does. How did you know that? How did you know that?
That's a very dominant pattern. When
really?
There's a rebel who's paired up, almost always it's with an obliger.
But why?
Well, and maybe this is part of what would be interesting to you as you think about your work relationship. So obligers tend to have more affinity with a rebel because upholders and questioners don't have much patience for a lot of the aspects of the rebel tendency, but obligers often like it because a rebel is like, if an obliger feels like, why is everybody asking us to do this? The rebel's like, yeah, let's ignore it. We don't have to do what they say. Or if the obliger says to the rebel, you know what? I feel like I'm just not going to go to work for a week. The rebel would be like, that's awesome.
Jolenta's done that before.
I did that all the time.
And we should say Elizabeth is an obliger like Kristen and I'm an upholder, which is like the opposite of a rebel.
Mm-hmm.
So you feel that sometimes happens in your interactions, in your relationship. You get that vibe going.
Yeah. Well,
totally.
And I am somebody who I'm kind of a workaholic. Love to work. I work. And anytime I feel like I'm just pushing myself too hard and I'm about to just throw my hands up in the air and say, that's it.
Yeah.
Jolenta's like, hey, just take a few days and not do anything.
Mm. Right, right.
So that's the good side.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Also, she's super entertaining. Nobody's more fun or more exciting than a rebel, right? They're really fun people.
Sometimes. Sometimes. Some rebels, depending on how it's mixed in with the other aspects of their personality. And so you were talking about something which is sort of edging up on obliger rebellion, which was an obliger's meet expectations, and then suddenly they snap and they're like, okay, this I won't do. So that's like part of the affinity between obligers and rebels, because rebels really understand that impulse to just be like, you know what, this is over, I'm not doing this, I'm not going to follow through. So Jolenta, what's your experience of working with an obliger?
Kristen is obsessed with rules.
Yeah.
She's just obsessed with rules. Like we read the same material for our work. We read the same self-help book and we'll come back and talk about it. And sometimes it's like we read a different book.
Oh.
Where she's like, well, we're not allowed to do this and that and this.
Ooh.
She's just, all she sees is like the black and white, like hardest rules possible. And then she tries to meet those where I'm like, everything is nuanced.
Oh, that's interesting. So so Kristen has a much stricter sense of what's expected and you're able to sort of see the loopholes or like the softening language when they're like, oh,
exactly.
My question is, if does this cause conflict with you guys in terms of just making the show? Like, I assume Kristen wants to have exact recording dates and times on the schedule. And does Jolenta, like, do you bristle at that and not want to have the next 3 months of recordings planned out? And then, like, does it make you not want to do it because you don't want to be told what to do?
I am I guess my trick or my workaround is I sort of ignore it. Until, like, Kristen will plan out our entire season and send me, like, 500 calendar invites all at once. And I just, like, don't read them. I just don't look at it. And I know, like, I know our general schedule. And I, like, I plan my weeks, like, week to week. And I look at my calendars and it's all there. And, like, I sort of know what's happening. But I pretend it's not set in stone until, like, the week of.
Whereas, yes, you guys are 100% right. I do set up the whole calendar months in advance. Every single recording date, every single release date, every date that we do retakes, every date that we're supposed to be reading books. If we have an extension on a book because of a holiday, every single thing is accounted for, including which studio we'll be in. If it works with Cameron's schedule, that's our producer. And one of the main reasons I'm like this is because when other people are counting on me, I step things up much higher than I normally would if, like, I'm not like you, Gretchen. I'm not an upholder where I'm just going to do it on my own. But if I know other people are counting on me, I'm going to go all the way, go big or go home, including being very black and white about those rules in the books we follow, including putting the schedule together as strictly as possible. I will do everything because other people are counting on me and I want to do well by them.
So one of the things that I often feel, just from my own vantage point as an upholder, is that sometimes it doesn't seem fair to me what a rebel obliger partnership looks like. Now, but you should say for a partnership, if it works for the people who are in the partnership, it should. Now, you guys are laughing. Why are you laughing?
We're trying. No, I know. I'm like, it doesn't sound fair.
Because I talk.
But it feels like, to me, it feels like relatively fair, right? But like, I could understand looking at us, you'd be like, Jolenta just messes around. Like, what is she doing?
I remember this one team, I talked to this founding team, a tech team, and one was like, well, you know, I do the big picture thing. I give the keynotes. I have the overall vision. And like, I have the, like, if there's a big meeting with like an advertiser about where we're going, I do that. And then my partner, she does the stuff like the payroll, the HR policy, following up with invoicing advertisers, you know, that kind of thing. I was just like, oh, well, I mean, to me, but the thing is, if it works for you, then it works. I mean, because every team has its own dynamic and everybody's bringing things to it, some kind of explicit, some implicit, as long as it works within the team. Do you ever find that it causes conflicts?
I'm trying to think. Sometimes. Our balance is hard also because Kristen works here full time.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm a freelance podcast host with other jobs. So also that balance in itself makes it difficult where it's like, yes, this is my baby and this is like my main job, but I'm not in this office every day. Yes. I come in, you know, once a week, twice a week. We bang out our thing. I live by the books at home, take notes at home.
And can I just say that is very rebel and obliger too, because you've created an environment where every day is different. You're like, you have many identities.
Yes.
Like you're connected. You're connected to a bunch of different people. Every day is different. Whereas Kristen is showing up in the same office with the same coworkers every day. And so that is also very kind of rebel and obliger.
I didn't even think of that part.
Yeah. I didn't think about that either. But I did try to be a freelancer at one point in my life, and it drove me nuts. Mm. I felt constantly like, how do I monitor my own activities? Yeah. How do I stay on top of stuff? Am I going to have enough work tomorrow? I actually was like, rather than feeling freedom, I felt like I was trapped in a bad situation.
But so that's a good example with the tendencies. Like one environment works really well for you, Kristen, and you, Jolenta, might feel like very stifled.
You would
rail against it.
Now, I want to point out as a fan of the show that if you guys do have moments of, you know, frustration with each other because of your different tendencies, that is what makes the show so good. It wouldn't be as good if you had two rebels or two obligers, because you'd be coming at it from the same angle. It's that tension is an important part of the show. So it's like creatively, it's working. So if you have those moments where it's not working logistically, just remember the bigger picture of the creative.
Well, and just you saw this sort of like working in one particular episode, the one about how to write the ebook in less than 7 to 14 days.
Oh my God.
Where like Kristen's frantically rewriting the book twice.
She wrote two like full novels.
Right. Yeah. And you were like, I'm just watching Bravo.
I watched TV for about a week and a half and then like,
but you got it done.
A book.
Then you got it done. And but so you both. So it made a great show. You both got it done in your own ways.
Right, right.
In our own ways.
And we have, like, you know, we've sort of naturally broken into different roles on our show. Like, Kristen, surprise, surprise, loves writing down all the rules. The second she reads a self-help book, she distills all the rules in our script. It's like the first thing she does. I, on the other hand, tend to get involved after our first draft. I do the whole retake script and write in all of our edits and all the things I want to change. So, I mean, for being a rebel, I'm also type A, like, when I care.
Rebels can do anything they want to do. They can do anything they choose to do. So they can do anything.
So I feel like, but I love Kristen because she sort of let that naturally happen versus like, here, I'm going to always do this. You always do that. Like, if that were the initial prescription, I would have freaked out and been like, I can't breathe. Like, I don't want to do my part.
Also, it would feel somehow... I don't mean this as an insult, Jolenta. I almost feel like if I said, Jolenta, can you do this?
No.
It would make you feel really edgy if I asked you to do it.
Nope. Can't do it. Cannot do that.
So bad. I know. I know.
Don't do that.
I know. I wish you could.
Every rebel, when I write an email to rebel, it always starts out, if it works for you, if this is convenient for you, if this sounds like something that would be fun for you.
Gotta trick us every time.
Well, this is so fun to talk to you guys.
Yeah. Oh, and before you guys go, I just have to weigh in on the great Housewives debate. Class with the Countess was one of your books. And Kristen was not a fan of The Housewives. Class with the Countess is by Luann de Lesseps, who's a real housewife of New York. And it led to you guys having a whole debate about The Housewives. And I just have to come down on Jolenta's side on this.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love The Housewives. And I don't love to hate them either. I love them. So,
I'm the same way.
I had to weigh in on that. It's been on my mind.
It's okay, Liz. We can still be friends.
Yeah. Well, it was so fun to get to talk to you, a rebel obliger pair. And we're so excited for season 2 of By the Book. Very exciting. Yes. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks so much for having us on the show, guys.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Gretchen, you know I love to socialize, but I need to do it in a way that's good for me, that doesn't drain my battery. And therapy can really help figure out what works for you, what doesn't work for you, so that you're not just spending out too much of your social energy.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GretchenRubin today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GretchenRubin.
Okay, Elizabeth, it's time for Demerits and Gold Stars. And this is an even numbered episode, and that means you're up for a demerit. What is your demerit?
Yes, Gretch. My demerit is, well, it started off as a gold star, which is that I bought a new laptop, which I desperately need because my laptop is so old that like I can't even support the latest version of Final Draft. It's just crazy. It's a dinosaur. So I bought the new laptop, but this was weeks/months ago. And it is still in the box, like in the bag, in my office at home. And I just can't bring myself to start using it.
Well, listen, in episode 72, we talked about the happiness stumbling block of the incomplete upgrade. And I am here to testify. I have been in your house several times over the last months.
Yeah.
And that bad boy has been sitting there in the box for a long time. And sadly, the thing about an upgrade is the purchase is the easy part of the upgrade. The hard part of the upgrade is actually then integrating this new device into your life. And I feel your pain. Absolutely. But I think you need to like get it out of the box and make friends with it.
I know. And what's really bad is Adam has offered like maybe 10 times. He's like, just give it to me and I'll make sure, you know, you can use it. But I literally have not brought myself to like hand it to him. That's all I would have to do is hand it to him. I think it's also mental of like, I'm just attached to my laptop. You know, it's like, it feels almost like a betrayal to, you know, let it go.
No, I feel I kept a lot of my old laptops just because they do. They almost feel like pets. Yeah. I mean, they're like with you. It's like your comfort object. Yeah. Like you know, I know exactly how you feel. And also when you have something new, like the idea is it'll like, be new and exciting. But actually, for me, it's a huge annoyance because it's like nothing's in the same place. You don't know how to do things. There's all these new questions that it asks you. You don't know the answer to. It's very draining to make friends with a new laptop. But I think that time has come for you.
It has. So now that I've spoken it out loud, hopefully that will be the push I need. Hopefully tonight I will take the plunge.
Excellent. I'm going to call you tomorrow and ask about that.
Okay. All right, Gretch, what is your gold star this week?
Okay, well, this is a related gold star. It's also technology. And many people will laugh when they hear this because they will be like, you call this a gold star? But Elizabeth, I know that you will think it's a gold star, which is that I backed up my iPhone onto my computer.
Oh, another thing I desperately need to do.
Right? It was a major personal triumph. I did it.
And do you have it so that it continually updates now, or do you or are you just sort of like starting over? Like, will it back up automatically now?
Well, see the thing is, I use a PC, not a Mac.
Oh, right.
So there's like a whole extra step there. It's not hard. Like they tell you it's not hard, and I'm like, I know it's not hard, but I don't know how to do it. Right. But it won't automatically do it. Or maybe it would if I like plugged in my phone, but I don't usually plug my phone into my computer. So I have like a new little ritual that I follow. And I was partly inspired, Elizabeth, by what happened to you like a year ago now when you lost your pictures.
Ugh,
of course, it took me a year to get my act together. But so
well, I'm proud of you.
Well, thank you. So technology, it's great when it works, but it's not easy. So there you go. And that's it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Introduce a note of whimsy. Let us know if you tried it and if it worked for you. I do love that. Try this at home, I have to say.
I do too. Double thanks to Kristen Meinzer, both for being our producer and also for coming onto the show to talk about the four tendencies with her co-host, Jolenta Greenberg. And thanks again to Jolenta too. Their terrific podcast is By the Book, and it just started its second season. Yay! As always, thanks to Andy Bowers of Panoply. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Instagram at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Liz Craft. Our email address is podcast@gretchenrubin.com.
If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend and subscribe to us on iTunes. And remember, it really, really does help us if you rate and review the podcast. If you have the time and the inclination, if you feel moved to do it, we really, really appreciate it. Or just tell people about it. The new year is coming, and people really do use the new year as a catalyst for self-reflection. We all want to be happier in 2018. And so if you know somebody who you think would benefit from the show or enjoy it, it's great to let them know in whatever way feels right for you. Also, speaking of 2018, I have my 2018 Happier Page a Day calendar. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. And the thing about calendars is, you know, they stopped making them in 2017. And so if you want a calendar, go ahead and order it now, because every year they run out of these and I get emails from people and they just only make so many calendars and then they don't make any more because they don't want to get stuck with a bunch of stock they can't sell. So if you're interested in a Page a Day calendar, be quick.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward.
That was easy.